The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio, or its employees, or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. No one else will do.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. The Creator has said, "Why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist?" Ask yourself that. What makes you think that you're going to go to heaven if you don't believe the Almighty exists? And he's also said, why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great authority, if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted? Again, if you're a believer and you're just playing games with the Almighty and maybe go to church and do a few bits and pieces, but you're really not living for him, ask yourself why you should qualify to sit on a throne or even in the reaches of heaven close to the thrones. My message to you tonight is that it is entirely possible, no matter where you are right now, whether you're a believer or an unbeliever, whether you're a heavily committed believer or a lightly committed believer, even if you right now are serving Satan, the Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you, and I challenge you to seek it. Today we're going to look at the question of the Bible is not the word of Yah or the word of God. There's a lot of confusion. Many believe the Bible is just a book, and by the way, they're correct, but not entirely correct. Many believe at some level that the Bible is the living word of God, and I'm going to show you tonight that that's not the case. Many also believe that Jesus is the word, and therefore somehow Jesus is in the Bible. And that really is not so. Muhammad condemned the Christians and the Jews for worshipping their respective books, the Christians for the Christian Bible and the Jews for the Jewish Bible, which is the Old Testament of the Christian Bible. And it's interesting to note that the Quran is more inspired than the Bible and an equally valid resource. But then again, don't worship the Quran either. Both of the three different books that I've mentioned, the Jewish Bible or Old Testament, the Christian Bible, which is the Old Testament and the New Testament, and the Quran, have been written at some level by people who are inspired and at some level by people who are not inspired. They're all useful resources for getting to know about the Almighty, and they're all useful resources at some level in helping you to get close to the Almighty. But none of them goes far enough in terms of what we're talking about here. So, by way of introduction, who am I? My name is Dr. James Robertson. I'm a civil engineer by training. I've been a management consultant for 25 years, and I'm the chief operating officer of a small group of companies in the United Kingdom today. I've spent the last 25 years seeking to actively draw close to the Almighty from a point in early 1993 when he spoke to me audibly when my life was a mess. At that point, I realized I'd taken the wrong turning, was going in the wrong direction, and decided to actively seek to draw close to him and not repeat the mistakes of the past. In that process, I have come to know him intimately. I've come to hear him call me friend. I have written over 1,000 articles about him and his ways, the world we live in, practical advice with regard to marriage and all sorts of different aspects of life. And I believe I'm in a position to help you see how you can draw close to the Almighty, and that is the purpose of this radio program. What is End Time Issue Ministries? That's the part-time ministry that I operate in addition to my business commitments. That's the vehicle through which this radio show is organized. It's the vehicle through which I publish my articles, run my website, and generally do the work that I believe that Father has called me to do. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. Well, that about says it all. This program is about helping you and anybody out there to see that it is possible for them to have a deep personal relationship with the Almighty Creator. For more information, I refer you to my website, www.endtimeissueministries.org. For more information, that's www.endtimeissueministries.org. So End Time Issue Ministries, one word. You can email me at James at that same address. Few questions from last week's program. Is anything lost in translation? Well, as you would have seen from the last few programs, yes, a huge amount is lost in translation. We have almost universal confusion about the truths of the Almighty, about what is real about the Almighty, about what's going on in the world today, viewed from the Almighty's perspective. And a substantial amount of that relates to errors of translation, and we'll touch on a few of those later in this program. How long does it take to get your act together? Well, I started to have dramatic spiritual experiences about 9 months after I really committed to serving the Almighty. I spent a lot of time in those 9 months going to church, reading the Bible, praying, worshiping. I listened to teaching tapes whenever I was in my car, or worship songs. I threw myself into it. I prayed an hour in the morning, an hour in the evening on my knees. I read the Bible an hour in the morning, an hour in the evening. And I really put in a huge amount of effort. So it is, and I started, as I say, at the end of 9 months, Father put his hand on me and I woke with a powerful anointing. So you can get your act together quite quickly. How do we gain the trust that I spoke of? Well, you've got to demonstrate, in order to be trusted, you've got to prove yourself worthy of trust. So you need to be consistent, you need to be honest, you need to deal with the Almighty in the way that you would deal with somebody that you really respect and treat well. How would someone lose pride? Well, that's an interesting one. We are intensely proud. Excuse me. We are, for the most part, intensely proud beings. We tend to fall into pride. Certainly I did. I eventually got to a point where I started praying, Father, judge me severely and correct me harshly that I may serve you more perfectly. And subsequently, I've got to a point where I pray, Father, if I get into pride, please give me a hard klop, in Afrikaans, meaning a slap. If you're willing to go that route, that'll help you get rid of pride. I've been judged for pride several times, taken on personal injuries as a result of my pride. So I try not to go there now. In the previous program, we talked about Yeshua not being the Creator, not being Yah. So let's just look at one further point to that. Yeshua commanded us to worship the Almighty alone in Matthew verse 20, chapter 22, verse 37, quoting Deuteronomy 6, chapter 6, verse 5, Yeshua, Jesus, said unto him, Thou shalt love Yah, the eternally self-existing, your mighty one, that's the Lord thy God, with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. How then can Yeshua be the Almighty? How then can men worship Yeshua and not fear judgment? In Deuteronomy 6:4, we read, Hear, O Israel, Yah, the eternally self-existing, Almighty One, is one Yah, the eternally self-existing. In Exodus 20, verse 2 and 3, we read, I am Yah, the eternally self-existing, thy mighty one. Thou shalt have no other mighty ones before me. It's very clear, folks. Don't worship Jesus. And once you've looked at those verses, you have to ask why the Almighty should show mercy to people who do worship Jesus. So let's go back to our topic for tonight. The Bible is not the word of Yah. Many years ago, when I'd finally come to a place where I really understood this point, the Almighty said to me, Why base one's faith on a collection of document fragments that are 2,000 years old and older when you can have a deep personal relationship with me? He also said, Bible study is obsession with history without understanding the present and the future. And he also said to me, Bible-based belief is minimalist belief. Those are pretty tough sayings, and if you're somebody who is a Bible believer and believes that the Bible is the Word of God, the living Word of God, that Yeshua, Jesus, is the Word, this is a bit of a setback. At one stage, I believed what you believe, and eventually I came to realize that I was mistaken. And my purpose tonight is to help you to understand that perhaps you are mistaken. In doing that, it's really important to get a fix on the reality, which is the cornerstone of this program. The Almighty Creator wants to have a deep personal relationship with you. You can't do that if you are obsessed with a book. It doesn't matter which book it is, whether it's the Bible, whether it's the Torah, whether it's the Quran, if you are obsessed with the book and worshipping the book, you cannot have a close relationship with Father. The one gets in the way of the other. Let me give you a bit of context. In 1993, after the Almighty spoke to me dramatically, audibly, as clearly as you can hear me now, and called me back to serving Him, I joined a Bible-based charismatic Christian church, and I was very impressed by the teachings from the Bible, and so I bought a New King James Bible, and I held it up to the Almighty and said, Father, these people say this is your word. I do not understand it, but I choose to believe this, and I ask you to answer all my questions. So I made a really heavy commitment to believing that the Bible was the word of Yah, or the word of God as I understood it in those days. In the next 8 years, I read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation about 20 times. I read the New Testament about a further 15 times, both of them in numerous translations and versions. I filled 1,400-page notebooks with questions, answers, and interpretation. At all times, I read the Bible as Yah's book and turned to Him for guidance, not to men. And that's absolutely key. If you read the Bible with your intellect and not with your spirit, you will get very little out of it, and you will get a whole lot of head knowledge, which is very dangerous. Returning to my story, in 2001, having prayed and fasted to be led into all truth, Yah showed me that the Bible was not His word and was not inspired. It took me another 8 years to fully grasp and internalize this, and it was only in 2014 that I fully came to grips with letting go of the belief that the Bible was the word of Yah, or the word of God as I understood it then. Some Bible statistics. The Greek word biblios, as in bibliography, list of books, simply means book. This, the Bible, the word Bible is a translation of the Greek biblios, which simply means the book. People attach all sorts of significance to this book, and this is what I want to share with you. So we have the Protestant Bible, which has 66 books. The Roman Catholic Bible has 73 books. The Eastern Orthodox Bible has 78 books. So the supposed authorities cannot agree on the so-called canon of scripture. Wikipedia states that there are over 450 different English translations of the Bible, reflecting major discrepancies in interpretation and a massive obsession with the Bible. To counter that, one report suggests that there are about 1,250 discrepancies between different source manuscripts relating to the same passages. In other words, that there are 1,250 places in the Bible where the source documents, where there are multiple instances of the same source documents, and they don't agree. For example, Matthew 28:19 ends saying, "In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." This only occurs in one source manuscript and no other, and it is the only instance of this construct in which an entire doctrine is built. So if you're a fairly committed Christian, you have almost certainly grown up with the belief of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. It's a fundamental underpinning of many, many Christians' belief. It's actually false. The Holy Spirit is simply the set-apart spirit of the Father that is given to believers, and the Son is Yeshua. There is no Trinity. And the whole construct, the whole concept of the Trinity comes from one verse in the Bible based on one source manuscript, which is not present in other manuscripts that could have been used. It's estimated that there are in excess of 5 billion Bibles printed to date. They definitively evidence that Satan is well pleased with the Bible to distract people from Yah. Nothing happens in great quantity on the earth unless it's acceptable to Satan. And we'll talk about that perhaps in another program. So it turns out, and this is probably going to be a great shock to you if you're a Bible believer, Yah actually hates the Bible because men worshipped it. He created men to be his friends, not to be friends with a book. He doesn't want you in Bible study, in Bible school, in a Bible-based church. He wants you in a relationship with him. Instead of going to Bible study, either meet with a group of people who are intimately involved with Father, and the Bible is not the core place to go in order to do that unless you're going to study what it means to be an anointed one and how you can learn from the conduct of anointed ones. Father blocked me from going to Bible school, and it was only many years later that I understood why. Bible-based churches are good if they're Spirit-led and they're operating by the Spirit, but it's just not acceptable today to make a thing of basing everything on the Bible. The Bible is a very limited resource. Ultimately, you do not need a book to be friends with Yah. You may use a book to help you get there, but you need a relationship with him, and the book is eventually going to get in the way, so you're going to have to put the book away. I have read virtually nothing since about 2001 when I started writing in earnest, and since then I've written about 1,000 articles. I've learned to turn to Father for revelation, for teaching, for answers to questions, and I document accordingly. It is entirely possible for you to get to that level of relationship. This program and my writings are geared to helping you get there. But if you really go for it, you will get to a point where you no longer need any books. You will go directly to the source. It's important to understand that both the Old Testament and the New Testament are compilations of fragments of documents. In the case of the Old Testament, fragments that survived the Babylonian exile, or which were written down from memory, and all were manually copied with transcription errors under adverse conditions. The New Testament is based on fragments that survived persecution of the believers by the Jews, the Romans, and the Greeks. Again, all manually copied with transcription errors, sometimes written down from memory, sometimes with embellishments and elaborations written by the scribes. Really, in both cases, not very reliable sources. It's also important to recognize it's not necessary to be anointed or even to know Yah in order to have written most of the Bible. Most of it is simply historical narrative about anointed ones. You can write about, for example, David and Goliath from the point of view of a believer, an anointed believer who will understand the significance of David's faith stand, or you can write it from the point of view of somebody who's not a believer, and you'll probably write pretty much the same account. Most of the Bible is not written by anointed ones, and it's really important to understand that. Also important to understand that the Bible is the result of a contest with Satan that Yah ultimately lost. Satan did everything possible to destroy all record of the interactions of Yah with men, and he almost succeeded. He almost succeeded at the time of the Babylonian exile. He almost succeeded in the 300 years after the death of Yeshua, when the believers were persecuted by the Jews, they were persecuted by the Greeks, they were persecuted by the Romans, and many of them were destroyed, and many of their manuscripts, etc., were destroyed. So that in 300 AD, when the Bible was compiled, there really wasn't a lot of manuscript available. So Satan nearly won that battle. Yah fought hard to preserve the fragments that survive and to have the writings assembled that constitute the modern Bible. He did this with people with limited anointing and with some level of miracles and signs and wonders, such that people attached dramatic spiritual significance to the Bible. Having apparently lost this battle, then Satan then turned it around by getting people to worship the Bible instead of Yah. So instead of getting people to destroy the Bible when he realized he'd lost that battle, he got them to worship the Bible instead. The Bible is the Word of God. Look at all the miracles that were performed in order to preserve it. God is in the Bible. The end result has been that Satan has turned people to worshiping the Bible instead of seeking relationship with the Almighty. So that said, the Bible has to some extent served a useful purpose. It certainly helped me, but that was influenced by the mental stance that I took of constantly turning to Father for answers to my questions. So, if the Bible is the Word of God and without error, let's consider two verses, 1 Chronicles 21, verse 1. And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. This is when David was king. 2 Samuel 24:1. Again, the anger of Yah, the eternally self-existing, was kindled against Israel, and he incited David against them, saying, "Go number Israel and Judah." So the one verse says that Satan told David to number Israel and Judah, and the other verse says that the Almighty told David to number Israel and Judah. They can't both be correct. Either Yah told him to number it or Satan told him to number them. Another example, Matthew 27, verse 5, and he, Judas Iscariot, cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. In Acts chapter 1, verse 18, now this man, Judas, purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. So either he threw the money in the temple and hanged himself, or he used the money to buy a field and fell headlong and died there. He cannot have done both. So again, we have two verses of the Bible which directly contradict each other, one of which has to be incorrect. There are numerous other contradictions and inconsistencies, and there are whole websites devoted to this topic which make nonsense of claims the Bible is 100% inspired. And yet you will find Bible believers, specifically Bible-believing Christians, who will go to the most ridiculous lengths to justify why these idiosyncrasies, why these inconsistencies are not inconsistent at all, but can be fully understood and explained. And in the process, they make the Almighty seem foolish, and they turn people away, and Satan laughs at their foolishness. In a previous program, I've talked at some length about the names of Hebrew Israelite people that contained Yah. And there's probably about 100 names in the Old Testament or in the Hebrew period that's covered by the so-called Old Testament. In fact, in the New Testament as well, although they're lost because of the Greek, where there are names which contain the name of Yah, Y-A-H. So we have Yahushua, which means Yah is salvation. We have Yahuda, which is Yah is praised. Yahuchanan, Yah has graced, and so forth. You cannot fully understand the relationship between Yah and his people in history without knowing his true name. Yah is totally lost in just about every translation of the Bible, every English translation, and just about every translation in other languages that is based on the English translation. And those errors are perpetuated in many other languages where they've been influenced by the English terms. There are very few Bibles available that have the true names, and particularly that have a revelation of these names, including Yah. A lot of the Bibles that do go into the name of Yah use Yahweh, one or two use Yahweh, but Yahweh means Yah, the eternally self-existing. His true name, his fundamental, essential name is Yah. Some people make a lot of the so-called canon of Scripture. So the theory there is that the Bible is inspired. It's so-called Scripture. It's all 100% reliable. It's all 100% accurate. You can use it as a sort of cornerstone of your life, and the canon of Scripture is closed. No further scripture, no further inspired writing will be written. And there are people who will say to you that it doesn't matter what is given to a prophet today, it does not carry the same weight as the canon of Scripture. And frankly, that is absolutely crazy. Who says that the Almighty cannot speak through a prophet today with just as much accuracy, with just as much relevance, as just as much importance as he did 2, 3, 4, 5, 6,000 years ago? Key point to note, Father says that less than 2% of the Bible is inspired, so the Bible is certainly not the living word of God or anything that approximates this. Secondly, there's not even agreement on the books that make up the Bible. Thirdly, there are innumerable discrepancies between source documents, let alone between translations and interpretations. There is therefore clearly no such thing as the canon of Scripture. There is no definitive body of knowledge that defines the way that we should act, that defines the way that we should interact with the Almighty. And there's absolutely nothing which talks about becoming a friend of the Almighty. We read that Abram was a friend of the Almighty. We read that Moses was a friend of the Almighty. But we don't get any guidance as to how to get there. And that's what this program is about, is to give you guidance as to how you might become a friend of the Almighty. At least one major prophet in recent times has fallen by the wayside because he failed to realize that his message was more important than the Bible. And therefore, he treated his message casually, took time before he wrote it down, and didn't really go to too much trouble to make sure his message was accurately recorded. Going across all the multiple English translations and many of the translations based on the English translations and the other languages that have been informed by the English translations, we encounter almost universal errors that are absent only in a very few Bible versions. So we find, as we've seen in previous programs, the Lord, Lord, L-O-R-D in capital letters, is used in the English instead of Yah, the eternally self-existing, or at the very least, Yahweh or Yahweh. Christ, which is a translation of words which mean anointed with the Spirit of Yah, an anointed one, or the anointing of the Spirit of Yah, is used instead. So Christ is used instead, again, giving rise to massive confusion. We see God instead of the Almighty or Mighty One. We see Jesus and Joshua instead of Yahushua. which means Yah is salvation. The numerous names containing Yah that have been incorrectly translated, so Matthew, etc., which is Mattityahu, John, which is Yahu Kanan, and so forth. We see the same name translated differently in the Old and New Testament. So Mary in the New Testament is Miriam in the Old Testament. Jesus in the New Testament is Joshua in the Old Testament. Innumerable translation errors geared to making it seem that the New Testament is different to the Old Testament and that Yeshua, Jesus, changed all sorts of things. All of these errors massively devalue the majority of Bible versions, and they lead to huge error and huge deception amongst Bible believers and people who just consult the Bible casually. I want to say that there is a fallacy with regard to the so-called Old and New Testaments. Firstly, there's one continuous story of the relationship between Yah and men from creation to the present day. The language should be harmonized. The Old and New Testament, as we've seen a minute ago, is just not the way to do it. Secondly, it's not a testament. It's a covenant, a legal agreement before Yah, sealed with blood in the case of the new covenant, the blood of Yeshua. Thirdly, the wrong use of the Lord, Christ, Messiah, God, Joshua, Jesus promotes a completely wrong interpretation of the reality of Yeshua, the anointed of Yah, and so many other things. The Bible, in the form that it is widely presented, widely translated, is full of error. At just about every level you can look at it, it is not a reliable source. It's going to lead you into trouble if you place more than casual reliance on it. By all means, read it as a useful history book about the interactions of Yah with men. But that's it. It's a useful history book. There are a few inspired passages that you should tap into, and there's many bits of modern writing that will help you with that. But do not get sucked into obsession with the Bible. Important to realize that the texts on which the Bible is based were written in Hebrew and Aramaic. So virtually all of the Bible was written in Hebrew or Aramaic. The Old Testament in Hebrew, the New Testament in Aramaic. Almost none was written in Greek. Much of the New Testament was translated into Greek, and the Hebrew and Aramaic texts were eventually destroyed because of persecution by the Jews on the one hand, seeking to destroy the people who came to be known as Christians, the followers of Yeshua, the Romans and the Greeks on the other hand, seeking to destroy them because they were speaking against the idolatry of those people. So either way you look at it, it was not easy being a true believer, and what they wrote down was therefore often destroyed. So there was not much preserved when in 600 AD the Bible was compiled. And interestingly, the most widely used manuscripts on which much of the New Testament is based were found in the trash can of a monastery. Overall, drawing conclusions from the Greek and studying the Bible based on Greek is diversionary and leads to considerable error. So you get Jesus in the English based on Iesus in the Greek, which means blessed of Zeus, and has absolutely no correlation with Yahushua. So the real meaning of Yahushua, the real meaning of his name, and that's the man who's commonly called Jesus, the real meaning of Yahushua is totally lost in the English translations based on the Greek. So there's a lot of inaccuracy in the Greek translations, and that inaccuracy has been massively magnified in the English translations. Important to recognize that the newest parts of the Bible are about 2,000 years old, and it is in most respects irrelevant to modern life. Failing to realize that the New Testament is nearly 2,000 years old and that the so-called prophecies are outdated and related to countries and powers thousands of years ago leads to highly erroneous interpretations of modern events and huge amounts of time, money, and effort expended on activities and writings that are utter nonsense. Hardly a day goes by that I don't get an email with some frankly weird argument about what's going on in the world today based on some interpretation, particularly of the Book of Revelation. Folks, the Book of Revelation was written nearly 2,000 years ago. The events that it spoke about have either come to pass or some of those are still to pass, but they're very macro events. So building modern doctrine from the Bible, which is a massively incomplete reference with regard to the matters of the Almighty, locks people in an irrelevant time warp. If you do not read the Bible on the basis of how you can be of comparable effectiveness to the most anointed characters in the Bible, I have to say to you, you've totally missed the point. It's important in considering prophecy to understand that this thing that's called prophecy is not foretelling. It's a recording of instructions to the prophets. So where Revelation chapter 20 speaks of Satan being cast into the pit, it's not a telling in advance what's going to happen. It's an instruction to a prophet in the right time to pray the right prayers and do the right things in order for Satan to be sent to the pit. These so-called prophecies are statements of intent on the part of the Almighty. The fact that so many of them have been fulfilled is an indication of the number of anointed prophets through the years who have been obedient and prayed these things into existence. Yah wants relationship. I cannot stress it enough. Yah created mankind to be his friends, to do things together, to share with him, to learn with him, to talk to him in conversation. The Bible almost totally obstructs this. Read the Bible to learn about Yah, to trigger questions that get you on your knees to ask the questions. Take to him asking for answers. Folks, the best way to hear the Almighty is to get on your knees before him, humble yourself before him, or even get on your face on a hard floor, not on a bunch of cushions, and really humble yourself and say, Father, I want to hear you. Help me to hear you. Eventually you may come to a point where you can hear him while you're walking around and while you're doing things. But it takes time and practice and dedication and effort and fasting and prayer and worship over a length of time to get to that place. See how others have related with Yah and aspire to relate to him in a comparable fashion that is unique to your relationship with him. If you read about an anointed person, be it a modern person or a person in the Bible, take it to Father and say, Father, I desire to know you the way this man or this woman knows you. I did that end of 1993, beginning of 94, and Father answered by putting his hand on me and imparting a strong anointing to me. Seek to be the friend of the Almighty. That's what it's all about. That said, the commandments and principles in the Bible are accurate. So the fundamental Ten Commandments and various principles in the Bible are accurate, but they constitute a very small fraction of the total book. So by all means, do read the Bible and extract these pieces. Beyond that, the rest is just useful historical context. Those items that are inspired or directly report inspired words and deeds are the essence of what you should take from the Bible and then move on. There are passages that are very anointed. There are passages that contain very important principles. Ask Father to show you which they are as you read. And if you're led by the Spirit, those will be quickened to your attention when you read them. But be real. The bulk of the Bible is just dry historical account of things that happened. They don't have to be the Word of God. They don't have to be inspired. They are simply historical account, no more and no less. The fact that they're reasonably accurate doesn't say a hang of a lot. They were just written down accurately by people and they were preserved reasonably accurately. The errors in the finer details don't really matter there. They only become an issue when you say that the Bible is the living word of God and without error, which frankly I hope by the time you've got this far in this program, you're beginning to understand is really a bit silly. An important principle, and I touched on this a moment ago from a different angle, the grace relating to the mistaken worship of the Bible, calling the Bible the living word of God, the word of God, and so forth. That grace was withdrawn no later than the 3rd of May 2003 when Satan was cast into the pit for 1,000 years. Revelation 20 says, "And I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the key to the abyss and holding in his hand a great chain. He seized the dragon, that ancient serpent who is the devil or Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. He threw him into the abyss and locked and sealed it over him to keep him from deceiving the nations any more until the 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be set free for a short time." I was the prophet who prayed that into existence. I spent something like 3 years fasting and praying, during which I came to understand that somebody without sin had to pray for this to happen. And in order to get to that place, I had to get rid of all sorts of wrong beliefs, all sorts of false doctrines, start using the correct names, observing the correct Sabbath, and so on and so forth. And I couldn't tell anybody what I was doing or why I was doing it. Not even my wife. Obliquely, I told people that there had to be such a person, but I did not tell them that I was preparing to be that person. And eventually, I was worshiping one day, and the Spirit of the Almighty came on me. I called the court of heaven to order. I commanded Gabriel and Michael to see Satan, bring him before the court. I read out the charges and asked for a sentence of 1,000 years in the pit or the abyss. The sentence was granted, and I commanded Michael and Gabriel to cast Satan into the pit for 1,000 years. And so he's down there right now, and he will be released in about 985 years' time. So the Bible was necessary for me to know that that had to be prayed. But if I had not prayed it, if I had not done the work to be clear of sin, it wouldn't have happened. Another thing that had to happen was that all the grace that had been extended up to that point for errors such as worship of the Bible had to be withdrawn, and we now operate under a completely new dispensation where there is no grace for error. So to sum up about the Bible, read the Bible as a useful reference book about the history of Yah's interactions with mankind and to understand certain important principles. Read from end to end and read a few different translations, then put it away. There are a few passages that are inspired and a further few passages that are accurate records of inspired words and deeds. And these are particularly valuable, albeit that they are lifted out in numerous studies of the Bible and other books, so it's not that necessary to read the Bible to find them. There are many other modern inspired books that will help to some extent and cover far more material and far more ground. Turn to the Almighty to interpret the Bible and answer your questions, not men and certainly not the church or Bible school. If you get an anointed preacher, well and good, but you need to get close to Father. The question is, do you get closer to Father spending an hour in a pew at church, or do you get closer to Father fasting and praying and spending an hour on your knees before Father in your private space at home? Read about the anointed ones in the Bible on the basis that you aspire to be highly anointed and do those works that come your way in your life. Never worship any book or any person, no matter how powerfully anointed they are. So don't worship the Bible, don't worship the Torah, don't worship the Quran, don't worship any other book that you have a good experience with. Some Bible versions that are worth reading, the ones that I would take if I had to limit myself. I've got a collection of probably at least 20 different translations. The scriptures by the Institute of Scripture Research, my first choice, but it's heavy going the first time you read it, has Hebrew names. You'll find it on Amazon. You'll find all of these books on Amazon. The Amplified Bible by Zondervan. It's an inspired translation with amplification that makes the richer underlying languages more visible. Probably the best translation if you're only going to read the Bible once or reading for the first time. I strongly recommend it. The Living Torah by Uriah Kaplan, a Jewish translation of the Old Testament and the associated volumes. It's good if you want to go deeper in terms of the Hebrew roots of the faith. Better interpretation in terms of the commentary, etc., in that particular Bible. And then the King James Bible, not particularly accurate, not particularly fantastic, but it is a useful early translation in that it is less prone to the doctrinal errors in translation that can corrupt many later translations. And please note, there are numerous translations that are toxically dangerous spiritually. There are translations that are interpretations where arrogant men, arrogant women have put their own spin on things and completely corrupted the message. Some of those people have died. They've been judged by the Almighty for their sin. But please do be careful in terms of which versions of the Bible you get your hands on, and more importantly, which versions of the Bible you read. I strongly recommend the three that I, or the four that I've just mentioned. I want to reference four key documents. The first one is called The Creator Desires a Deep Personal Relationship with You. It's about a 16-page document. It's available on my website. I'll give you the details in a moment. Then seven components in drawing close to the Almighty or to the Creator. A 70-page document with prayers, rituals, all sorts of things that you can do to clean up your life and get close to the Almighty. If you're serious about getting close to the Almighty, I strongly recommend that document. The Creator's name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing. A detailed document on the names, really important if you really want to understand the significance of the Father's name and how it permeates history. Where will you spend eternity? What's required in order to qualify to sit on a high throne for eternity? Really important that you read this if you're serious about getting close to Father. Understand what's needed. All of this available on the website, www.endtimeissueministries.org, behind the homepage menu tab in the top left-hand corner of the screen. That's www.endtimeissueministries.org. That's endtimeissueministries.org. There are books of teachings, and there is an ongoing mailing list, and those are available from me at james@endtimeissueministries.org. That's James at endtimeissueministries.org, as just mentioned. Visit the website and click on the Bible tabs for much more information about the Bible. So to close, I would like to thank you for listening. I hope you found this program interesting. I hope it's challenged you. It may be the first time that you've thought that you could possibly become a friend of the Almighty. It's perhaps the first time that you thought that you can have a deep personal relationship with Him. And so I hope you found it valuable. Please feel free to contact me. You've got my email address, james@endtimeissueministries.org. Please email me anytime that you want to know more about this. Visit the website. There's books, etc., you can download there. Please send me your questions on the W4CI webpage. I'll answer them next week. Really appreciate your questions. Helps me to understand what you've understood and what perhaps you haven't understood. So please feel free to ask questions. Please email me at james@endtimeissueministries.org in order to join the mailing list. I publish regular articles on a diversity of topics. The historical articles, most of them are on the website. I'm currently compiling a collection of my writings going back to 1998. It'll ultimately be 7 volumes comprising 13 books, each of about 600 pages, so something like 5,000 pages of writing. A huge amount of material, some of it very valuable, some of it not so valuable, that you can draw on to learn about drawing close to the Almighty. The first volume contains the most important writings, including those I've just listed. Please email me if you would like a copy. We'll be publishing them shortly. And I hope to connect with you again next week when we will more deeply explore how to become a friend of the Almighty. That's all I have to share with you today, and I hope that you enjoy the rest of your day, and I hope to see you next week or connect with you next week. Thank you. Father, I